Welcome to the Principled Podcast, brought to you by LRN. The Principled Podcast brings together the collective wisdom on ethics, business and compliance, transformative stories of leadership, and inspiring workplace culture. Listen in to discover valuable strategies from our community of business leaders and workplace changemakers.
Hi, we're here this afternoon with Joanne Hennigan, Ethics Director of Michelin. Welcome to Principled. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Marcia. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Today, I wanted to spend a little bit of time learning more about your journey into global compliance, global ethics. How did you really come into the field of compliance and governance? So tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay, well, it's interesting because I'm not sure that any of it was actually intentional, but I think I ended up having a pretty good background for what I'm doing now. I am a lawyer, and I started out actually as a litigator. And litigation, of course, gave me a pretty good grounding in advocacy and how things might go unexpectedly, how people behave, et cetera, et cetera. When I left that, I was in private practice in Washington, D.C., and I actually joined Michelin straight out of private practice. Worked in the North American legal department doing a number of different things. In fact, that's what attracted me to going in-house was the fact that I didn't have to specialize. I could do pretty much anything as an in-house lawyer, whereas in private practice, you know, you become increasingly specialized. And did that for quite some time and got to the point where I thought, I need a change. And lo and behold, I was invited to go to France for about 6 years. And in France, I was the general counsel of a geographic region that Michelin is somewhat unusual for because we combine Africa, India, and the Middle East. You know, a lot of companies combine Europe and the Middle East and Africa, but we combine the Middle East and Africa with India. So it gave me an incredible exposure to a wide array of cultures, different ways of thinking, different ways of approaching issues, and was really just an invaluable experience for me. After that, I came back to the U.S. and actually went into audit. So I led the North American audit group. And audit at Michelin is kind of interesting because it's actually more of an enterprise risk management approach than it is the typical financial audit that you think about when you hear the word. So got a great grounding in risk management and how the very last arrow of the wheel works when you're looking at how your programs are doing and what you can do to improve them. So that I feel was a great grounding. Got a wonderful grounding in COSO and the risk management approaches from the different professionals that look at that. And after that, I became the ethics director and started working in my current field, which has actually changed a lot since I started. We're still trying in Michelin to figure out exactly how we want to set this up and what we want the scope to be. But it's been an interesting journey to sort of think strategically about where ethics might fit in and how we might manage it in a company like Michelin.
Yeah, I mean, I think given your very kind of blended and integrative background, both in enterprise risk and audit and as the general counsel, living abroad and understanding kind of the unique lenses of cultural, you know, how business is done and what are the business nuances culturally, how did these lenses help influence how you're charting and shaping your program today?
Well, I think the first thing that it did for me is it reminded me that there's no one answer to any question in this area. There are a lot of different ways that you can approach both ethics and compliance. And really, the answer for one company may not be the right answer for my company. And the answer for my company today may not be the answer for my company tomorrow. We have a global scope, truly global scope. I think we do business in virtually every country in the world. We have teams located in, I would say, the vast majority of those countries. Maybe sometimes they're very small, but folks are located everywhere. So it's a tremendously complex issue. I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, you know, we are Michelin. We have an ethical approach. We are ethical. But it's another thing to really examine what that looks like when you're talking about someone who is based in a small country in Central Europe that only has maybe a handful of Michelin employees. What does that mean in terms of support? What does that mean in terms of how that person understands the culture of Michelin, et cetera? So it's been very interesting to look at it that way.
As a woman, as one of, I would say, kind of a pioneer as a general counsel in a French-based organization abroad, starting both in North America and working across a vast footprint, you know, Africa, India, and the Middle East, what were some of the, I would say, challenges or opportunities you saw leading as a woman of authority, as a woman of influence in the compliance and ethics space?
It's been interesting for me. I would say that typically, what happens when folks see me as a lawyer come into a room is sometimes there is a little bit of, gee, what is this woman doing here? You know, you can sort of sense that sometimes. And I should say that the tire industry, which of course is our industry, is still very much a male-dominated industry in some respects. That's changing as it is everywhere, but tires are kind of a male-oriented thing. We're a manufacturing company, and that's still male-dominated, right? So, but typically, there will be an initial sort of reaction, you know, what can this person possibly know? You know, does she know what she's doing? Is she going to ask us a lot of silly questions? But typically what happens is, at least in Michelin, once you are able to show that you do know what you're doing, you know a lot more about the law than perhaps the folks you're talking with, you're willing to listen to them and understand what their particular context is. I think that my experience, at least, has been that you very quickly go beyond any sort of initial impression or reaction that folks might have had, and everyone just gets down to business, really.
And you mentioned the concept of listening, and I think it's an important aspect of how an organization represents its footprint worldwide. So it's not so much here's our policies and here's what we plan to communicate one way, but we also want to pause and listen back to you. Tell me a little about how listening has been a compelling strategy and how you're truly executing as you've grown your footprint factories worldwide.
So it's something that, frankly, is, to use a hackneyed phrase now, part of the DNA of Michelin. It's one of our core values is to respect the facts. And the only way you get the facts is by listening, hearing them from the people who are actually dealing with them. I find both on a personal level, when I'm dealing with folks, listening to what their issues are, listening to why they came up with a particular way of doing things, is extremely important. Probably on a company level, one of the best examples that we have is when we go into a new place, for instance, to build a factory or something like that, we see time and time again the importance of listening to the folks who are already there. And it can sometimes be hard to know that you're actually hearing the voices that you need to hear. You may go into a place and you may listen to several different kinds of voices, local government, maybe even some local organizations, et cetera, et cetera. But until you get there and you start working in the area, trying to build your factory or do whatever it is you're doing, you're never entirely sure that you've gotten everybody. So it's really important to continue to listen. Even if you think, well, I've gotten answers from the government, I've talked with this organization, I've talked with that representative, to continue to keep an open mind to hear other voices as you're there. Because what we find is that if you truly listen to everyone's concerns, there's usually a way to address all of them that keeps everyone happy, including your company. And in fact, it makes things better if you've listened to everyone and can address all of the various concerns that you hear.
Yeah, and you mentioned core values and your core DNA and really how that talk is walked, how it's sort of activated worldwide. listening is an excellent, I would say, core value to demonstrate actively how an organization is pausing and trying to be more inclusive of the populations that may be impacted or may be able to contribute through growth and innovation. One of the challenges a lot of organizations do face, though, with a global footprint is to create a scalable strategy around training and communications, especially around their ethics code. Tell me a little bit about what are some of the pillars of success for your strategy and your program.
For me, this topic brings up the global versus local issue, or the centralization versus distributed model, if you will, of how to do ethics and compliance. We are very strongly led in the direction of more of a distributed model. And I think it actually works quite well. It's frustrating sometimes as a person who is in a central organization to try to do that, because sometimes it can be a lot of work and sometimes it feels very out of control. But I really think it works quite well because it allows local teams to really understand, okay, this is how I communicate with my team and with the folks around me, and to tailor the messages to the people that they're talking to, as opposed to having a central message that everyone has to roll out. This is it. This is what we say. I think it actually works quite well. To tell you the absolute truth, we are still struggling with central versus distributed methodology. I'm not sure that we necessarily have it right, or that we necessarily will be doing it the way we do it now forever, right? So we're constantly asking ourselves, should this message be more centralized? Should there be a more centralized approach? But I would say on the whole, we rely quite heavily on especially our legal departments in the various geographies to understand their own constituents and know how to send the message out. So we're fortunate that we have quite a strong legal team globally and can rely on those folks and trust them to send the right message in the way that they see fit.
It's a very important point that you're raising here, because there's a ton of research, as we know, around the importance of tone in the middle and local tone, and being able to communicate and collaborate where the business is unfolding, and leveraging your legal team more locally to set that tone and to be those ambassadors around the messaging and reinforcing the expectations, I'm sure is going to have incredible continued impact. As we kind of look ahead, since you've had a significant, I would say, spotlight, and you've worked in so many different aspects of developing a global governance, ethics, and compliance strategy and program, what do you anticipate are going to be some of the top priorities in the next decade?
Well, I'm not sure I have a crystal ball, but one of the things that fascinates me and that I find really interesting and informative for what I'm doing now is the science that's being brought to this area in the form of science of behavior, both organizational behavior and individual behavior. And it's something that I've noticed is very strong right now in the West, and particularly in the U.S. But what I'm hoping for the future is that we'll see more emphasis on bringing in that scientific evidence about behavior from other cultures. For me, it's interesting and exciting to have something that is relatively concrete that can inform how we approach our constituents with the messages we want to send, the behavior that we want to encourage, et cetera, rather than just relying really on sometimes instinct and anecdotal evidence for that sort of approach. So to me, that's the most exciting thing that I hope I see coming on.
Yeah, I think it's an exciting time, and it's really cultivating a lot of conversation, especially with the full transparency we have now with social media. There's a lot of incredible examples to point to and unpack and pursue. So, well, thank you, Joanne, for joining us here at Principled and sharing your journey and your insights. And we look forward to having you on again. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Principled Podcast is brought to you by LRN. At LRN, our mission is to inspire principled performance in global organizations by helping them foster winning, ethical cultures rooted in sustainable values. Please visit us at LRN.com to learn more. And if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And don't forget to leave us a review.